Let's do it.
Is this live?
Ladies and gentlemen, we are live!
Yeah, okay. You got your mind?
Amp Radio.
Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another edition of Amp Radio, brought to you as ever by the Amp Radio Network. We are here tonight to do what we call hashtag Smack My Picks Up. That is Amp Radio's Picks Show. My name is Proteus. I will be here with you all night. As I mentioned, we are here to do hashtag Smack My Picks Up for UFC Fight Night 147, also known as Till versus Masvidal, also known as hashtag UFC London, which will be held March 16th, 2019 at the O2 Arena in London. All right, as I mentioned, I do have some of the usual cast of characters. And of course, on this show, if you don't know, now you know. Usually what we do is the main event, the co-main event, and then we do everyone's favorite segment of the night, Spotlight Fight of the Night. So let's go ahead and get into bringing in the hosts of the show. So let's go ahead and bring in the life of the party herself, the first lady of Amp Radio. Let's go ahead and drop her music, DJ Tony, Pam from North Carolina.
Hi, guys.
What is happening?
I am so confused. I am so confused. I had a call. You want to call in? I'm like, okay. Today's Wednesday, right, though?
Yeah. I was under the impression that you were contacted to move the show. My apologies. I have my wife, of course, set up a date night on podcast night, of course. We've been doing this for almost 3 years. But, hey, we have Thursdays free, right?
Yeah. So, funny thing is, so everybody's gone. Paul's gone. The kids are gone. So I was enjoying my night alone. I cooked myself a nice dinner. I'm watching my murder shows. And then I get a call, and I'm like, well, wait a minute. Well, what day is today? So I'm winging everything tonight because I was going to, after my dinner, I was going to do my fight pick. So we're riding the crazy train tonight.
Hey, that's exactly it. It's always good to ride the crazy train sometimes, right?
My goodness. Anyways, hi, guys. I missed
you
last week.
Yeah, we miss you too. You got a point last week, Pammy, and you didn't even do any picks, but let's leave that till later. Let's go ahead and bring in the other host of the show. You know him. He's the big boss man himself. I call him the original B-boy. Guess what? It's Tony time.
Hey, DJ! It's Tony time, bitches!
Proteus, it is crazy time. This is crazy. Pam and I chatted earlier today about switching the show to today. What am I living a dream? What the heck's going on out here?
No, you were supposed to call me back and you never did.
Oh, you're right. Darn it. She's right.
Yeah.
My bad.
Jeez. Everybody's on steroids.
Oh, my goodness. Anyway, so we're all here, right?
Well, we're all here and we're all accounted for.
The gang's all here.
So let's go ahead and get into it. That's right. So Pam can get back to her lovely dinner and maybe get into a
bubble bath later. We're done.
Oh, good. Good. Oh, you ruined the picture in my head there, Pam. Come on.
Oh, I'm sorry, anyway. But I am going to bake some cookies later.
Oh, even better. Even better. I love cookies.
There you go.
All right. So let's go ahead and get into introducing the star of the show. Not doing very good this year so far in his picks, but we won't hold that against him. Coming at us deep from the heart of Texas. It's Marco from Waco, brother.
Marco from Waco, brother. I might be behind on the standings, but I'm going to rally at the end and win the championship. I promise you.
No, you ain't.
Everybody. Hey, I know it was daylight saving time, but no podcast saving time. What the hell, man?
What?
Are they ahead now? What the hell, man? Let's talk to an MMA, bro.
Well, let's get into it, ladies and gentlemen. DJ Tony, go ahead and cue that music. To the welterweight division we go. Thank you, Pammy. Darren Till versus Jorge Masvidal. This one's going to be a crackerjack. Darren, the Gorilla Till against Jorge Game Bread Masvidal. Of course, Darren Till is at number 3 in the welterweight division against number 11, Jorge Masvidal. Darren Till coming out at a 17-1-1 record against Jorge Masvidal, the more experienced fighter, ladies and gentlemen, 32-13-0. Of course, Darren Till fighting out of his home country, the United Kingdom, of course, not his hometown, of course, not coming from London. And of Jorge Masvidal coming, fighting out of the United States of America. Let me give you the quick odds, ladies and gentlemen, before we get in and we throw to Marco. Jorge Masvidal is the favorite at a Darren Till is at is the favorite at a minus 260 right now on 5 Dimes. Jorge Masvidal coming back at us at a plus 220. Marco, what you got here? Do you got the betting favorite, or are you going to go the other way?
Ah, man. I like Jorge Masvidal, man. You know, he's a junkie. Nothing but love for him. But he is an undersized welterweight, man. I mean, he fought most of his life as a freaking lightweight. And Darren Till is humongous. That guy is huge. I mean, Jorge Masvidal does not got the knockout power that Tyron Woodley got. And the only time that freaking Darren Till has lost is because he got not knocked down. He got knocked down by Tyron Woodley and then Darshow by him. The avenue for Masvidal to win is to put volume and stick a move. But Masvidal has never, ever followed a game plan because he likes to get in brawls. He likes to get right in your face. He's a pressure fighter. You know, he won't wrestle. He won't use jiu-jitsu. He wants to get on a stand-up war, and that's going to be his undoing. Darren Till is too big, too strong, too fast. I mean, a lot of people complain about the Wonderboy Thompson fight, but he won that fight, you know? He is a very good striker, and if Masvidal tried to play the freaking striking game, he's going to get knocked the fuck out. And I'm going to pick Darren Till. I'm going to pick him by knockout, and I'm going to pick him by knockout on the second round. So give me Darren Till by knockout on the second.
Okay, Marco, you are down for Till KO in the second. Pammy, you, as you mentioned, you were off last weekend. And, you know, Marco brings up some good points about Darren Till being a large welterweight and Jorge Masvidal perhaps being an undersized welterweight. But as we know, in Till's last fight, the weight cut seemed to have been the bigger fight for Darren Till. And when he got in the octagon with Woodley, he just didn't show up. What do you got going on here in the main event of UFC Fight Night 127, Pammy?
Okay, well, you guys are going to have to bear with me because, like I said, I'm winging this. My stupid computer
is winging it.
So keep in mind,
Wing it!
Pammy, let's also talk about how terrible the new UFC site is. Let's talk about that.
Mark that down so we can talk about that later. Oh, my God. Okay. Awful, sucky UFC side. I don't even use it anymore, to be honest with you. But keep in mind, do you remember last week? I don't know if you all remember when I said about when I told you that, or a couple of weeks ago when I told you that Mickey Gall couldn't handle Diego Sanchez, kind of crazy. Jorge Masvidal is that kind of crazy 2.0. And I think Darren Till's used to a little bit of those bland fish and chips. He can't handle that spice. Keep in mind, Jorge Masvidal beat, did he not beat Cowboy Cerrone? And Cowboy Cerrone beat Darren Till, did he not?
No, you're wrong.
No.
Am I wrong? Okay, I'm going by memory because, like I said, I don't even have my thing on.
Masvidal
okay,
did
so,
beat Cerrone, though.
Masvidal has a win against Cerrone, and Till has. Did he not lose to Cerrone? Isn't that what I said?
They only lost to his record against Woodley.
Yeah, see, I can't even get on my computer, so bear with me. You know what? I had to go with Masvidal on this, only because nobody likes to fight as much as Masvidal. When Darren Till was talking about how I'm going to knock his block off, I think Masvidal actually got aroused by that. And I think he's just crazy. I do think he is a smaller welterweight, but he has a chin. I mean, he has a chin on him, and I just think he's that kind of crazy. He is coming off of two losses, Stephen Thompson, which was close, and Damian Maia, which, you know, that was by decision. But I don't know. I'm picking Masvidal. Is this 5 or 3?
This will be a 5-round fight. Yeah, this will be the
5-round.
Yeah.
I'm picking Masvidal with a TKO. I'm gonna go. I'm gonna let him get his crazy out in the first round. I'm gonna go with the second round TKO for Masvidal.
Okay.
Spicy. He's my chill,
right.
And I love the dude.
So as Pam was saying, both of these guys do hold a win over Cowboy Cerrone. So Pam, you were correct about that. All right, DJ Tony, let's throw to you here in the main event. I mean, these guys bring up good points here, right? I mean, if we're playing MMA math, you know, maybe things work out for Till. Again, Tony, he's going to have all that pressure of being in his home country. He is carrying this card for the UFC because they're counting on Darren Till to do something here. So can he hold up to the pressure is what I'm asking, or will Jorge Masvidal come into his home country and beat him down?
Here's the thing, Proteus. I totally agree with Pam and Marco, like I always do, in terms if this fight was going to be here in the States, right? So obviously Marco picking Darren Till because of the size, Pammy picking Masvidal because he's a little off and certainly needs a haircut. By the way, can someone in London please give him a haircut and a shave? What's going on with Masvidal? He's going back to his street fighting days with the long hair. But listen, assuming Darren Till, and I'm assuming he's going to get the weight in order, he's got a lot of other demons that he seems that he doesn't necessarily talk about. But assuming he can get everything in order close to home because he's from Liverpool, he's going to take it. He's bigger. He's stronger. I think he has a speed advantage. Jorge Masvidal literally is a street brawler that has nothing to lose. And he impressed me against Ross Pearson, Jake Ellenberger, and Donald Cerrone. But that's against Ross Pearson, Jake Ellenberger, and Donald Cerrone, right? Lost to Maia in a very boring fight where he was literally couldn't get anything off. I don't know what the heck happened with he and Stephen Thompson. Certainly not the fight I thought was going to happen. But then again, you know, I just can't see Darren Till blowing it again at home. So I'm going with Darren Till. Let's say he finishes Jorge Masvidal in the late second. So Darren Till, TKO over friend to the show. Well, not friend to our show, friend to Junkie, Jorge Masvidal.
Well, guys, I'm going to be honest with you. You have not all mixed it up very well. Everyone taking the second round by either TKO or KO. So I guess the onus is on me to go ahead and point out the fact that Jorge Masvidal, you know, even though he has gotten losses at the top of this division, as you guys mentioned, against Maia, I mean, to just go three rounds with Damian Maia is impressive in my book. I know it didn't look great. I mean, he was wearing around a Maia backpack for most of that fight, but he was able to survive on the ground. And I think what you guys have been saying is that the best chance for Darren Till is for Masvidal to keep this fight on the feet. You know, play into Till's hands and kind of, as we mentioned, make it a brawl. If he does do that, then Darren Till, yeah, has the great ability to knock a fool out. But I think Masvidal is too smart for that. My main concern, as I kind of alluded to earlier on, is with Darren Till making weight. Okay, we saw, again, as I mentioned earlier on, against Tyron Woodley, that the main story was the weight cut. And I think this is going to come up again. I do believe that Darren Till was best served moving up a weight division. We have seen, of course, with the emergence of Bobby Knuckles, just to give you an example, that if you're fighting at a more natural weight, chances are you do have a better chance against, you know, a Goliath like the Cuban Missile Crisis. I just think that we should all just be fighting at a more natural weight. And I think there until with the pressure of having all the media of being at home, he's got to talk to John Morgan. He's got to talk to every single person that's coming out to cover the event in London. You know, he's going to have a lot on his plate. And I think that's going to, it's going to factor into this fight. I don't know if being in the main event, DJ Tony, and fighting five rounds, and of course cutting down to welterweight is the best thing for Darren Till. But I think Jorge Masvidal is going to be the smarter fighter in this fight. I think he's going to have the clearer head. As you mentioned, that a homeless look going on. DJ Tony, he's got that beard. He's got the long hair. I think Jorge Masvidal is going to be the more experienced fighter. He's going to be able to get this fight maybe up against the cage, but tired Till out a bit, and then take him to the ground. I'm going to take a fourth round. I'm going to take a fourth round TKO from Masvidal.
Yeah.
A quick addendum to what you just said. Joel Romero is not the Cuban Missile Crisis. He's the Cuban Muscle Crisis.
Oh, you're right. I did say that incorrectly. Thank you for the correction. As our boys at the CME used to like to say, I do apologize for saying it incorrectly. All right, DJ Tony, go ahead and cue that music once again, please. Back to the welterweight division we go. To a very exciting fight. Leon Rocky Edwards, number 10 in the division, 16-3-0, fighting out of Jamaica against our boy, Gunnar Gunny Nelson, 17-3-1, who had a seductively suggestive dance routine that came out right before this fight. Sammy, Leon Edwards is looking tough coming up in this division against, you know, a guy who's been around for a long period of time in Gunnar Nelson. And, of course, looked pretty impressive in his last fight, did Gunnar Nelson, as did Edwards, getting that decision against the boy who comes up the most, Cerrone. What you got going on here in the co-main event of UFC 127, Pammy?
All right, I hope Gunnar's not wearing a onesie for this fight. Just saying.
Why not?
But that was a funny video, wasn't it? Yeah, that was not touch, but they were doing. But anyway, so you have Gunnar Nelson, 17-3. But you know what? I'm looking at his fight resume, and I know you all like him, but who really has he fought? He has win over Alex Oliveira, loss against Ponzinibbio, a win over my guy, Alan Joban, losses to Damian Maia, a win over Brandon Thatch, Zach Cummings, Omari, blah, 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 blah. But, you know, so, okay. But you go to Leon Edwards. Man, this guy has wins over Cerrone, Brian Barberina, freaking cinderblock head that can't get knocked out. He has a win over Vicente Luque, who is, I think, very underrated. His one loss within his last 10 fights against Kamaru Usman. You know, he's got, he has six KOs and three sub seven decisions. He's a decisionator, but, you know, I think this is going to go all three, but I'm taking Edwards be a decision for me, please.
Okay. All right, Edwards via decision for Pamela. DJ Tony, let's throw to you. What you got in the co-main event here, brother?
You know what? Pam just swayed me, and you know, heck, I'm easily swayed. There's no doubt about it. But, yeah, I was thinking Gunnar Nelson all along just because, like Pam said, I like Gunnar Nelson, right? I like the guy. But, again, it's one of those things that, like, right, the two-face. MMA two-faced. I don't know which Gunnar Nelson I'm going to get. I don't know if I'm going to get the good Gunnar Nelson who's BJJ's ready to rock, or am I going to get the guy that gets, you know, gassed out and gets KO'd. I don't know which one I'm going to get. So that said, listen, the last time Gunnar Nelson got KO'd, Gunny got KO'd by Santiago Ponzinibbio. And okay. Who was the ref? Leon Roberts. What does that tell me? Leon versus Leon. I'm going to go with, not joking, I'm going to go with Leon Rocky Edwards. Just because Pam swayed me and I have no other reason to go for Leon Rocky Edwards except for the fact that he's looked impressive. He hasn't fought anyone except for Cerrone, but she did beat Cerrone. I'm going Leon Rocky Edwards. First round. I said it. First round TKO over our guy, Gunny Nelson.
All right. I mean, you are correct that, you know, Leon Edwards is very dangerous on the feet. I think hometown pressure or home country pressure is going to come into this one. As we know, Edwards training out of the UK, resident of the UK, fighting out of Jamaica, though. And I think Gunnar Nelson, in his last win, Marco, showed me something that was a bit different for Gunnar Nelson. He showed me, heart and determination to go against a big heavy hitter in Oliveira and get that submission win. Where he likes to take that fight. I think it's going to be more of the same. I think, you know, Gunnar Nelson has been training and he's been training hard and maybe his standings in the division aren't as good as we think he is, you know, because he has been up and down and up and down, as everyone had mentioned. I'm going to take Gunnar Nelson. I'm going to take him by, second round submission again in this one. He gets it done pretty early. What do you got, Marco? Let's throw to you.
So, before we start, that is proof that Gunny Nelson did. It's a proof of a very famous song in the early 2000s in Europe.
Yeah.
Where the music video, the guy is surrounded by like a whole bunch of hot women on his spandex doing, aerobics and stuff. So, go check out the video there, Tony. You love the video. The original one. But Leon Edwards is a really good striker. Yeah. He's a lankier guy. But the best overall, most rounded fighter is Gunnar Nelson. Out on the ground, there's very few grapplers on the freaking welterweight division that are better than Gunnar Nelson. I think the only one better is Demian Maia. Gunnar Nelson is a very smart fighter. You know, he fights in the striking with a karate style. The point fighting karate style, but eventually he always managed to get to the ground. And once it's on the ground, it's going to be quarters for Leon Edwards, because you know when he went against a grappler like Kamaru Usman, you know, the champ now, he was lost there. He was totally lost, and I don't think he can make up the difference to catch up with the quality of grappler that Gunny Nelson is. If they keep it striking, he managed to keep it standing up. Leon Edwards have a chance to win. But I'm picking Gunny Nelson. I think he's a talent-wise, he's a better overall fighter, you know, and a smarter fighter, too. Leon Edwards is going to be too preoccupied with satisfying the crowd, too preoccupied trying to call out their own field, too preoccupied with other things, and Gunny Nelson is going to do what he needs to do, get to the ground, and get a rear naked choke submission on the second round. So give me Gunny Nelson by submission.
All right, that's a tense one as well. So that's going to be a non-tiebreaker on that one. Okay, so let me give you guys the odds real quickly, since I did not give them to you at the top of the fight. Leon Edwards is a slight favorite in a -125 against Gunnar Nelson, coming back at us at a +105. Okay, guys, we are swiftly moving through this card, which is what I like to see, because we do want to get to a little Amp Radio Rewind if we can. And maybe some news and notes. So let's go ahead and move to everyone's favorite segment of the night, Spotlight Fight of the Night, DJ Tony. All right, guys, I'm going to go first on this one. I'm going to go to the – yeah, well, it's my turn. I get to have a turn to go first, right?
I'm messing with you.
I thought you were going to boo me again. I was hoping you were going to boo me again. Anyways.
Okay, boo.
Yeah. All right, I'm going to go to the middleweight division, Tom Breeze versus Ian Heinisch. I think this is going to be a great fight against two guys in the middleweight division that are coming off of two good wins, and it's going to be a tough fight. I'm going to take Tom Breeze, though, in this one, guys. I'm going to take him, and I'm going to take him by hard-fought decision win. I know, very exciting for the London crowd. All right, Marco, let's throw to you. What's your spotlight fight tonight, big boy?
So I was surprised to see that Irish Joe Duffy is on this fight.
My dear
Casey, so of course I'm going to pick up that fight. I mean, Joe Duffy was an ex-coming of Jesus until, you know, he is a step on a banana peel. But I think he's the better fighter. I mean, Diakese is a really good fighter, too, don't get me wrong. This fight is going to probably have fighter than I really know all over it. But I'm going to pick up Duffy. He got the most polished striking. You know, he also is very good on the ground. So give me Joe Duffy by unanimous decision.
Okay. So that's two decisions and two spotlight fights of the night. All right. Okay, Pammy, let's go to throw to you. What's your spotlight fight of the night on this card?
I had picked Joe Duffy and Diakese also. Mark Diakese. How do you say, is it Diakese or whatever? Mark Diakese.
Yeah.
But I am going
Mark
Joe Duffy
and Ian Heinisch.
I've heard it said by that.
Mark Diakese,
yeah,
sorry, and Ian Heinisch. Sorry, guys.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. Thank
well,
you
I'm
for the
correction
on the grammar.
Joe Duffy, simply because he is just adorable. He is hot ginger number two. But seriously, I'm picking him with the second round submission.
All right. Well, see, at least you didn't go with decision, so that keeps you separated from Marco. If Duffy wins and he wins by sub, you
and
get
you know
those
what
2 points.
I think Gunnar Nelson should walk out to Let's Get Physical by Olivia Newton-John.
All right. That would be great. I'd appreciate
physical.
That.
Physical.
Yep. Physical.
Right. One, I guess.
And they say, let's get animal. Oh, my gosh. That would be a riot.
All right, DJ Tony, spotlight fight of the night from you, please. Let's do it.
I can't believe you guys left this fight in my hands. By the way, there will certainly not be Careless Whisper tonight, so do not cue the music.
Or Pony.
But I think,
oh, no, Pony, one Pony.
We just played Pony for you. Did you not hear it?
No, I didn't.
Well, we just played it for you.
Okay. Well,
go ahead,
okay.
Tony. Go ahead.
All right, let's go. Marco, I'm going to give the fight that should have been obvious. I'm going to cue Pony not for me, but just for Pam because she missed it. But to the light heavyweight we go, guys. Volkan Ozdemir will fight Dominic Reyes, and I think this is a good fight for both of them. Here's the thing. Volkan Ozdemir only does good with strikers. That's what we've seen in his UFC brief history, right? Because he's only had five fights in the UFC. Beat OSP via split decision. Beat Misha Cirkunov via KO. Beat Jimmy Manuel via KO. Dominic Reyes, guys, is an excellent fighter so far, but he's really green. And I said last time that he was going to lose his O. He's due, and I know MMA math doesn't work, guys, but I'm going to use it anyway. He's due for a loss, and I love Dominic Reyes. Not like Pammy Pony love, not my kind of love, but definitely like him as a fighter, and I think he has a possibility to be a future champ. But I'm taking Ozdemir, guys. No time is going to make quick business out of this. First round, TKO, no time versus a fighter that I really like, Dominic Reyes.
All right, I'm just going to go on record right quick and say that I'm going to take Reyes in this one. I think he's got
Ozdemir's number. You almost said Dominic Cruz. I mean,
almost.
He's gorgeous.
Almost.
No, Tony, I know he cut himself. He said Dominic Reyes.
He was right on the money. Damn, Marco's good.
All right, so ladies and gentlemen, that brings one UFC Fight Night 127 to a close.
Hey, real quick, what time does the card start?
It's not a weird time because or is it a weird time, Marco? Because it's over there in the UK. Are they starting it on our time, or are they start because it's ESPN Plus? And as we know, Dana White says that these cards aren't for us. So, what time does this card start?
So early. Really early, really, really early. It's going to be like a late morning, early afternoon affair for everybody, like around 11 o'clock.
That makes me happy. You know what? Because I'm performing on Saturday, so that means I can lounge around and watch fights and just do nothing all day get ready.
The whole card is going to be done by 7 p.m. Eastern.
Okay. Perfect.
Right on. All right, guys. You heard it here first. So let's go ahead and throw to last week's fight card. Let's go to a little Amp Radio Rewind, Marco.
Rewind.
All right. So as we know, main event of last week's card was Derek Lewis against Junior Dos Santos. And, of course, ladies and gentlemen, as you know, if you listened to last week's show, the only one that picked the Santos was your boy Proteus. I tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, 2 weeks in a row, I'm having a good year this year. I have won a lot more events than I have lost this year. And, of course, this is 2 weeks in a row for me. I'll tell you what now. All right, so let's go ahead and throw to you, Marco, because I heard people saying that this was a really good fight against Lewis and DeSantos, and of course, if we are to believe the news that came out about Lewis in this fight, he was fighting with no knee. And I rewatched the fight having that knowledge, and I didn't see which knee was injured, because either Derek Lewis is a freak of nature and is able to throw kicks with both legs, even though one of his knees is completely fucked up, or it just happened during the fight, or I don't know, Marco, but let's throw to you. What did you say about this fight?
So the story goes that a week before the fight, he sprained his meniscus. He didn't torn the meniscus, so it was a sprain. So you can actually fight with that. It's annoying. It's not going to be comfortable, but you can actually move your leg. It's not going to hinder your movement. It's just annoying. It's something that you just get a rest. So kudos to Lewis for for very heavy guys, a sprained meniscus, man, at a sin of life. You know, this dude is carrying 280 pounds. Yeah, 280 pounds on the daily. So, yeah. I mean, Derek Lewis, have a good show, man. I mean, he was an entertaining fight. Was entertained. The highlight of the fight, of course, was the spinning back kick to the solar plexus of Derek Lewis. Derek Lewis bending over. Junior Dos Santos thinking that he was down, and then Derek Lewis lunging forward and almost knocking out freaking Junior Dos Santos. That was the highlight. Everybody was like, wow, he was playing possum or not or what. But super entertaining. I was entertained. I mean, I was rooting for Derek. But, you know, the most talented fighter won. And that is the kind of fight that Derek Lewis is always on. He loses until he wins. He's always losing until he wins. So this time he just couldn't keep it together, and he lost. He got TKO. Good for Junior Dos Santos. You know, of course, everybody knows that he's not going to get a title shot immediately because Daniel Cormier is going to wait for Brock Lesnar because he wants to make that money. I do not know if they're going to make a third fight with Stipe. I mean, really, I'm not interested on that, but I am very, very, very interested on that Francis Ngannou fight. Francis threw a tweet with a thinking emoji, you know. Junior Dos Santos seems open for the fight. Francis Ngannou, Junior Dos Santos will be a freaking headbanger, dude. Sign me in, take my money, because I want to see the fight. Good for Junior Dos Santos,
right,
man. He's back being a contender. He's ranked number 3 now. And Derek Lewis is going to always be there, you know, hovering within the 3 and 6 spot. And he's always going to be an entertaining fight. So don't feel bad for Derek Lewis. He's driving Lamborghinis now. And he got a new contract where he's making a shitload of money. So good for Derek. Good for Junior. And let's move on.
Yeah, I just wanted to say. What's that?
I said, does he ever get
fit in a Lamborghini? No, he
yes,
doesn't. Good joke. Good joke anyways. Go ahead, Marco. What are you saying?
Yeah, he got the extra large Lamborghini.
Oh.
I don't think they make those, by the way. All right, so thank you. Thank you, DJ Tony. So let's go ahead and move on to the co-main event of this particular fight card, Pammy, because you were not here.
Mm-hmm.
All three of us picked Millender as the, you know, surging prospect that he is. And, of course, Dos Santos, you know, uncle or nephew to Junior Dos Santos, comes out and makes very, very short work of Curtis Millender, gets that first-round submission. Thank you, DJ Tony. What
do
you think about this fight, Tammy?
Don't I feel dumb? Damn it. Well, I never look bad.
Mm-hmm.
What are we going to do? What are we going to do? He made us all look bad. Pammy, what did you think about this fight?
I thought it was a great fight. You know what? It's so funny because on paper, everybody was like, oh, my God, this card sucks. I thought it was a great card. I thought there were some really good fights on this card. But
yeah.
It was a good fight. And the Curtis Millender came in saying that he knew that he was going to have to do a lot of work on his back. But Dos Santos looked pretty good.
Yeah, he looked really good. He looked really
mm-hmm.
good. Honestly, what he was saying in the pre-fight stuff, you know, this is his chance to shine in the co-main event. And he took advantage of that, DJ Tony. He really did take advantage. And he proved all of us wrong, DJ Tony. We can't hold that against him. You know, Millender was this, you know, rising star that, you know, we all picked him. And we all picked him. Well, we all picked him pretty early. Well, Tony, you picked him second round TKO. Both Marco and I playing it safe with the decision. But he made short work of this, of Millender. So what do you got going on here, Tony? What did you think?
You know what? I'm glad I picked Eliseo Zaleski Dos Santos. I picked him, right?
No.
Mm-hmm.
Darn it.
I'm just kidding.
Son of a gun. That's what I get.
Yay.
All right, you know what, guys?
Who's your mama?
I completely blew that one. There's no doubt about it. Listen, Curtis, yes.
Look,
someone said,
say,
hey.
I say, where does this guy Dos Santos live? Because he's been had it on plain sight. This guy's
know,
been
right?
a seven-fight winning streak, and now I am aware. Now I know. Now I'm keeping an eye. But, like, Mr. Capoeira, dude, like, where you been, dude? Now I know. Now I am very aware.
Yeah,
Go ahead,
Tony.
Go ahead, Pro. No, I've been aware of Zaleski Dos Santos. The problem with him is that he was a lot shorter than Curtis Millender, and I've seen Curtis Millender highlighted, and this is where you guys can get me on this one, watching LFA, right? Meaning I know that it's not the same competition, but let's face it, a lot of those people do move up. I was way off, guys, and I should have known when Curtis Millender has been saying, no one's going to take me down, no one's going to take me down. Guess what? He got taken down. So, you know what? Pam, shut the door on me on that one because I blew that one.
Oh, like, ba-doom boom. Let's not touch on that one. All right, so let's go quickly and move on to Tim Means versus Nico Price. Marco, Tim Means was winning this fight until he lost it and broke all of his shit. So what do you got going on here? Nico Price getting that impressive win. He had to get beat up to get that win, though, but gets that lucky shot against Dirty Bird and breaks all his shit. Marco.
So on my book, this is the round of the year because he only lasted one round. And he got the win at the very end of the freaking first round. I mean, how entertaining was this fight? Nico Price comes like a freaking cannonball shot out of a cannon, and hurts freaking Tim Means. Then Tim Means recover, and then he catches Nico Price not once, not twice, but three times. And then Tim Means is going for the kill, and Nico Price throws this freaking hellmaker from the heavens, like the hammer of Thor. Punched Tim Means to the perfect spot. Tim Means lands outwardly on his leg, and his ankle and his freaking tibia freaking break. That kind of suck. That really suck. But look, I do not care about all the praising Jesus crap of Nico Price, but please keep fighting like that. First of all, you got four kids, Nico, so you need all the bottles you can collect. Because you are 29 years old and you got more than we ever have legally. I don't know how many unofficial ones I got, but that's another story. Dude, he's becoming one of my guys, man. I'm all on the Nico Price freaking bandwagon. I'm on the Nico Price bandwagon. One other thing, on the ESPN era, it is so cool to see all these highlights on the SportsCenter's top 10, and Nico Price made the top 10 last weekend, so that is so
good
cool, man. I love that part. I love that part. So, yeah. Nico Price is one of my capital G guys now.
Yeah, Nico Price has been on my map for a while, so I appreciate you getting back on the train. But Tim Means, tough loss for him, man, because he was winning this fight until he lost it. And, yeah, like I said, broke all the shit. Quickly, because we are moving along really well this week, so I want to go ahead and get to Blagoy Ivanov versus Ben Rothwell, and I'm going to go first on this one. This was a very close fight. I thought that Ben Rothwell, coming back off of, almost 3 years off now, looked fairly good against Blagoy. It maybe leaving himself open a little bit too much to the counter or to the right hands of Blagoy, but Ben was throwing those straight punches left and right down the middle and catching Blagoy very, very often. And I thought, in my mind, DJ Tony, I had this going for Ben Rothwell, and I wasn't really happy with this decision. So let's just recap the spotlight fights of the night real quickly while I'm saying that, because this pertains to the spotlight fights of the night. Marco had Tim Means. Of course, he lost that one because Tim Means got his lights shut out. I had Rothwell on this one. I thought that Rothwell had the opportunity to win this fight. It was a very close fight. And, of course, I'll get your comment real quickly on Ben Rothwell, and I'll also get your comment on Marion Renault losing that particular fight, DJ Tony, because that was your spotlight fight of the night. And, of course, Pammy's spotlight fight of the night coming through. Dariush getting that sub. So, Tony, lots of stuff to talk about here, but what did you think about Ben Rothwell versus Blagoy Ivanov?
You know, I thought the whole thing with Ben Rothwell, who's always been kind of strange, but at the same time, he's a junkie favorite, right? He's someone that everybody likes. He's
definitely
been very kind to the media, typically, with the exception of his suspension. And he clearly was angry about something. I thought his mindset was way off going in, so I didn't see how he was going to turn it. I did choose Ben Rothwell because he's performed every single time, right? I mean, he's never let us down. But Blagoy and Ivanov, you got to give this guy credit. Undersized, I thought he got his bell rung quite a few number of times, stayed in there. Ben Rothwell, listen, it could have gone either way. I thought it was a close fight, so
yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if it went whichever way it went, but I certainly didn't think it was a pickpocket or a robbery. There's no doubt about it. I thought it was a close fight, but shout out to Ivanov because he was better than I thought.
100%
yeah, I mean,
I agree with Tony. Oh, sorry, man. 100% agree with
no,
Tony. I personally scored for Ben Rothwell, but, you know, I was biased, but it wasn't a robbery. The fight was so super close that when they gave it to Ivanov, I was a little bit surprised. But I wasn't outraged because I know the fight was super close.
And we have to give Ivanov the credit for coming back from, you know, a very, very serious and life-threatening injury, being stabbed in a club, and coming back and actually being able to fight at this this kind of UFC level in the heavyweight division. Right, Pam? I mean, like these guys have been saying, he put on a good fight. It was a close fight. What did you have here? What was your thoughts on this fight?
I thought it was a very close fight, but truthfully, I thought that Rothwell took it. I mean,
yeah,
by a slim margin, but I thought he had it. But, you know, like Tony says, you can't say he was robbed because it was so close. I mean, it was just so close. So it could have gone either way, and I would have been happy either way. But I truly thought that Ben Rothwell won that fight.
Yeah, well, like I said at the beginning, at the top of this particular segment, I thought Ben Rothwell was getting tagged as he was moving to the left. He was kind of predictable moving off to the left before he was throwing anything, and Ivanov was catching him. Marco, quickly.
So this fight was the fight that more than one person got their shit broken. You got freaking Yana Kudryavskaya, her nose busted. Tim Boos, his nose busted. Freaking Ivanov, his face all broken. Tim Means, his leg broken. Man, this was the... the guy that Benavides beat, his arm was freaking busted too. So everybody got their shit broken on these fights.
So quickly, let's get you to touch, Tony, on the Renault fight before we move on to the news and notes. What did you think about that one? Did you have it going that way?
You know what? I actually did have it going that way, even though obviously I'm a huge Marion Renault fan because I met her and she just was a nice person, right? I was actually kind of surprised that I knew who she was, or at least that's the way she behaved. Yana Kunitskaya, you guys know I've been a fan of since I thought she beat fairly, which didn't happen, right? Tanya Evinger there. The ref was obviously a bit of an idiot in terms of that, but I thought it was going to be a good fight. I just thought Renault's ground game would come into play. They didn't even get close to taking to the ground, right? This was just a pure boxing match. And Yana Kunitskaya, she got tagged a lot of times, made it up with the volume. I thought she definitely won the decision, but I'm actually kind of surprised that Marion Renault, whose ground game is amazing, I'm surprised she didn't go there, but it was a good fight. Marion Renault didn't embarrass herself at all. That's for damn sure.
You know what? The way I see this fight, Yana Kunitskaya won the competition, you know, the points, but I see Marion Renault won the fight because Yana Kunitskaya's face was all fucked up.
Yeah, and I heard people bringing it back to when Diego Sanchez had that tough fight against Martin Kampmann. And, you know, Diego Sanchez's face was just ridiculous, and I thought Kampmann won that fight. And it kind of reminded me of this fight as well, you know, Renault not showing too much damage, Kunitskaya, you know, all busted up. But, you know, one of the best GSP used to carry all of the scars on his face as well, and you know, we used to think that it was worse than it was, but I digress. All right, so ladies and gentlemen, Pam's favorite person is back in the news again today. DJ, this one real quick before we get to the end of the show. Marco, let's throw to you. Conor McGregor back in the news again, apparently, you know, trying to be Conor McGregor and flexing some muscle. Exactly. Thank you, DJ Tony. And, you know, I mean, there's not a lot of news, and I don't have a lot of information, so I digress to you guys. Marco, let's start with you.
So, before I start talking about Mr. McGregor, big shout out to Benil Dariush because he was getting his ass kicked on the first round by a. I can't remember the guy's name. I got it on the tip of my tongue, but it will come to me. And then coming back on the second round and getting that reverse triangle armbar, freaking amazing.
And not only that, but getting his opponent to take it where he needed it to be. Very smart.
Yeah.
And he got a fight bonus.
Yes. 50K. But Mr. Conor McGregor. So a lot of things came up today out of this incident, especially with the people from Buzzsaw Radio and Luke Thomas, you know. Okay. The nitty-gritty is some dude on this very hype club in Miami called Leave, you know, where everybody that is somebody goes and hang out. Was hanging out, you know, Miami, that's the thing, so he's leaving at 5 o'clock in the morning. This dude approached with his phone camera, and on the also, you know, we're waiting for valet parking, he snatched the phone from the guy, stomped on the ground, and then take it. Now, it comes to the light, you know, that this guy has been stalking Conor all night since 11 o'clock at night. So for around 6 hours, the guy was stalking Conor and making Instagram posts and stuff like that. So according to the people at Barstool, the guy was being a nuisance to Conor the whole night. It wasn't just like, oh, I just want to take a picture with you. He is talking all night, and, you know, whether you like Conor or not, man, and, you know, I'm not defending the actions of him taking a stomp in the front that, you know, taking away him. Once he tells you, okay, enough is enough, you need to, like, move on, man. And, I'm not going to claim freaking bloody border about it. I think it's much about nothing. This is going to get resolved real quick, you know, with, like, they want to put money on top of it. And it's going to be the end of it. The dude that got his phone stumped is bragging on the internet about all the money he's making from TMC and all this stuff. So for the guy, it's a money grab. He's bragging that he got $50K for the story about McGregor. So, yeah, screw the dude. Screw McGregor. It's a non-story. And, you know, you gotta go to the club and freaking have a good time. And if you're a celebrity, you sign up for that kind of shit. You know? If you're a little bit drunk, you probably should have freaking left a little bit earlier. But for me, it's another story, really. You know, it's going to fly by, pass over, and then we're going to forget about it.
Tammy?
I think, I mean, this is my hypothesis, is I think that possibly maybe this guy has some incriminating photos, which is why he got all, you know, huffy, because he loves the attention. He loves the attention. So that's kind of what I think. Maybe he,
you know what,
either caught him in a compromising situation, possibly.
You know what? I told that as a joke on the MMA Tonight. That they caught him with a side piece, and he made the calculation that maybe stopping the fall was going to be cheaper than a divorce and child support and alimony. So, yeah, you might be into something there. Because if they catch him with a side piece, man, it's way, way cheaper than divorce proceedings, you know?
Well, did you see, I mean, changing the subject a little bit, but did you see that funny video that Colby posted when he was caught down at the Palms?
Exactly what
and
I
then
was
that girl kind of like slithers out real quick.
Side piece.
Okay.
Yep.
Tony, let's get you to weigh in here because I don't give a fuck about Conor McGregor. So you go ahead and weigh in, buddy.
I think everyone cares about Conor McGregor. Otherwise, we wouldn't talk about Conor McGregor.
Don't.
And I know I kind of forced you into this topic, Proteus, so a full disclosure here. But I got to be honest with you. Listen, I thought that's exactly what it was. Listen, I've been in nightclubs so many times and during my life. Early, mind you, not as an old man, but so many times you can't stalk a guy. Sorry, Marco, you can't stalk a celebrity at a nightclub. They get the VIP treatment. They get roped off. They're in a section in the nightclub, but they're not next to this guy. They have security around him. They have servers that grab the drinks. Believe me, you can't stalk the guy. And believe me, anyone that knew who Conor McGregor was taking photos of him. I think you're right on the money, Pam. I think he was there with another woman or maybe with several women. This guy's taking a photo. Marco, you're right. He probably freaks out. And shout out to you, by the way, to being on any show that has Misha Tate on it. Shout out to Misha Tate. But and sorry, we ran out of time, Misha. But I will say this, guys. I think you guys are right on the money. I think Pam's right. Marco's right. He was there with other women. Uh-oh, it's cheaper to, you know, break the phone. He's not married, so as far as I know, he's not married, so there's no divorce or whatever.
Right.
But it's cheaper for him to get rid of this, pay the guy off. He's going to get in trouble again somewhere down the line, guys, so it's not the first time he's going to be arrested nor the last. He thinks he's invincible. But you're right. The story's a little bit about nothing, probably a little bit about McGregor having several side pieces and then just not wanting to make it public.
Just to be fair, go to the Barstool website and see the screen grabs of this guy taking pictures of McGregor all night. And they got the timestamps there, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, all the way until 5 o'clock. So the guy was, quote-unquote, stalking McGregor the whole night. And I don't know if he was, you know, cool about it or not, but the photographic evidence is there. Barstool went to the freaking trouble to get all the screen grabs of this guy on his freaking social media. So, well, for whatever it is, like I said, for me it's another story. But, you know, I mean, there's always two sides to the story, you know what I'm saying? And the fact that this guy is cashing in is a little bit suspect to me, too.
All right, guys, so let's go ahead and wrap it up here. We've got a 2 minutes left in the show, and I would like to get to everybody's Twitter follows and guilty pleasures of the week. So, DJ Tony, go ahead and cue that closing music. Pamela, let's go ahead and throw to you. Do you have a Twitter follow of the week, or do you have a guilty pleasure that you've been working with this week?
What you got? I have neither this week because I have just been crazy busy working. It's just been a crazy week, and everybody's been gone, so I'm kind of like a little bit lost because I have no one to cook for, no one to bake for, and I'm kind of in limbo.
Well, I thank you very much for that intriguing answer, DJ Tony. What do you have going on for us this week? Do you have a guilty pleasure, or do you have a Twitter follow of the week? Let's give you a shout out because the Instagram game is on point this week. The MMA minute is on point this week. What do you got for us? Guilty pleasure, Twitter follow, go for it, DJ Tony.
Proteus, you know I have both. So my guilty pleasure, because I've been, and thank you, by the way, for that. So Finding Neverland, watching, I wasn't a big Michael Jackson fan, but I certainly love Thriller, and I listened to a lot of his music. I guess I'm not surprised, but I'm still shocked. So that has been shocking, and certainly watching all that has been kind of good. I'm surprised, I got to be honest. You heard the rumors, but I'm just shocked. My Twitter follow of the week, you guys, probably not a surprise to you because I just posted this. You guys know I've been a Megan Anderson fan since her Invicta days.
Yeah.
You guys know I love NBA-sized women. There's no doubt about that. But darn, when she dresses up, you guys, and fixes, you know, puts on a little makeup, fixes her hair, son of a gun, she's a stunner. So at Megan_MMA.
Yeah, she cleans up well. And, of course, the caption that she put underneath that particular Instagram post or Twitter post or whatever it was, made me feel feelings in those places where I shouldn't mention. So Proteus's shower pick for this week, it's going to be a bit of a different genre again, ladies and gentlemen. Just trying to kind of mix this up for you guys. And of course, I'm going back in time a little bit here for you younger listeners. My Proteus's shower pick this week is Green Velvet, La La Land. Just one of those classic kind of, you know, trancy house kind of beats that will wake you up in the morning, man. Green Velvet, check him out. If you don't know who he is, now you know. So let's go ahead and throw to Marco. He's going to get us out of here for this week. So, Marco, if you've got a guilty pleasure, or if you've got a Twitter follow of the week, or if you've got anything else to spit for us before we move on and get out of here for this week, you get that done.
Okay. So, big shout out to Tommy Toho. Triple THS is 7 years old this week. So, go and check out the page, man. It always made me laugh. It's a way to get MMA news with humor because it's pretty much very close to what is going on MMA, but with, you know, the Tommy Toho twist. My guilty pleasure this week have been Kim Harrell's Campfire Ghost Stories. It's a podcast. What people call this podcast, and they tell their own personal, you know, spooky stories. Things that have happened to them. Yeah, it's either hunting or, you know, maybe finding, you know, a Bigfoot sighting, a UFO, whatever. You know, it's all the spooky stories of real people, you know, people like you and I, that call the podcast and tell their own stories. It's called Kim Harrell's Campfire. It's on iTunes, and I really, really enjoy it. If you want to hear some spooky stuff, go and check it out.
Are they spooky for real?
Yes, they're all real people, man.
Real people. I said, are they spooky for real? Or?
Yes, they are. You will be. Some of these stories will leave you I'm going to sleep with the light on today. Yeah. So, follow Tony, I am DJ Tony. Follow Pama Pandora Box. Follow Producer at Proteus. Follow me at Maldo Marco. Follow the show at another MMA cast, Red and Radia, Snacklehead, wait on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, Google Play, and all the freaking platforms that there is a podcast. There is fight this weekend in London, ESPN Plus for the United States freaking people. For the people in Canada on TSN, you get it for free, mofo, so don't complain. We better leave you guys. Catch you guys next week. Enjoy the fights.
And just like that, Pammy,
we're out of here.
Right.
Good night.
See y'all next week.
Bye.
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.